everybody. Welcome to episode 525 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. It's time for another Aftershock Monday episode, and I'm really excited for a couple reasons. First of all, because we're going to be talking about an upcoming series from Aftershock. First issue comes out on October 3rd. It's called Lollipop Kids. And the other reason I'm excited is I have the two writers joining me here. Adam Glass, who's been on the show before, but his co-writer, his co-creator on the book, Aiden Glass. Aiden, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So for those that don't know, Aiden is Adam's 14, right? You're 14?
Yes, sir.
14-year-old son, and this is a labor of love between father and son. Like I needed any other reason to read an Adam Glass comic. He's such a great writer. So it's awesome that you two guys are doing this together. Is it a dream come true in a way for you, Adam?
For sure. Listen, you know, I've said this before. I mean, obviously, most people are going to scream nepotism, and damn right. you know, in this day and age, you know, I'm really fortunate that my son also has this sort of gift of storytelling. You know, him and his sister grew up around it. You know, our joke is my wife and I, you know, we're always talking story at the table and pitches and what I'm working on and what I'm writing. And, you know, before they could walk, they could pitch. So, you know, Aiden at the age of like 7 would be in the, you know, the Supernatural writer's room pitching open to all the writers and, you know, cracking us up because he just, you know, some of them were better than my pitches. So, you know, he just is really fortunate to have this amazing gift and also think very differently than me. So we actually make a really good team. But yeah, to be able to do this with my son is just, you know, like you said, a dream come true, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and let me ask you, Aiden, I know, you know, when I was 14, my life revolved around comics. I imagine they were always there, you know, with your dad being in the house. So your history with comics, is that how you learned to read? I mean, they've always been a part of your life, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the really first thing that got me into comics was, well, you know, obviously I grew up in an era where technology is now key to everybody's life. So I really grew up with watching like Justice League Unlimited, Batman the Animated Series, all the TV shows before I really got into the comics. And, as I got older and I started realizing that my dad actually is writing these things that I love, I started reading some of his. And after I started reading some of his, I started reading other comics. One of my favorite comics is Death of the Family. I mean, I just love that comic. Man, it's just so good.
And did you have an idea early on that you wanted to maybe tell a story through comics, through sequential art?
Oh, yes, 100%. I mean, Lollipop Kids really started off during nighttime stories when me and my dad and my mom and my sister, we'd all lay down in one bed and we'd all talk about our day and stories that we'd love to create. And definitely Lollipop Kids was one of them. And a few months ago when my dad said, hey, I need a new idea for a comic book, I said, how about let's do it together? And he's like, well, what will the idea be? I said, well, remember Lollipop Kids? He's like, yes. And we kept on adding and adding and adding, and then here we are.
Yeah, and why don't you let our listeners know kind of the overall, the elevator pitch. What's the big idea? What's Lollipop Kids all about?
Lollipop Kids is basically the story of, you know, and a little bit borrowed from our own lives and experiences, but the overall idea is that when the immigrants came to America, they didn't only bring their dreams, they also brought their monsters. You know, it's like if you wanted to leave Russia, they're like, you want to leave Russia? You take this with you, you know? So all of a sudden, you know, you had all these people coming here, you know, with their monsters. And the only thing they had in common was that they had to do something with these monsters. So, you know, think New Amsterdam, think, you know, everywhere from the 15 to 16 to 17 to 1800s. And so what they did was they built a prison up in the Greenwood Forest, which today is Central Park. And back then it was really far away. Nowadays it's right in the center of the city. And it's a story basically about the monsters get out. And who's going to stop them? And a young man named Nick Motley finds out that he's a legacy to a group called the Lollipop Kids. And the Lollipop Kids are who keeps the monsters in the park and keeps the city safe.
Now, you did mention, I think you both mentioned, actually, this came out of an idea that of creating stories in your own family, bedtime stories. Has it gotten, did it start off kind of small and just took on a life of its own even back then?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we turned around and we would, you know, I grew up in New York and Central Park was always just, you know, such an important part of my life. And, you know, when you don't have a lot of money, the park, you know, is there for everybody, no matter what your economic background is. So it was always a great place to go see a free show or just to walk around the park and have fun or lay out in Sheep's Meadow and play ball. So we're always doing things. And so, you know, I passed that love on for that to my children and my wife and I. And so we spent a lot of time in New York and a lot of time in Central Park. So it was a mixture of like telling a story about monsters and what if those monsters were in Central Park, because, you know, we love Central Park so much. And it just snowballed into this sort of thing that it's become. And, you know, of course, you know, like most great stories, you just start, you know, building it and you realize, oh, wow, there's a lot here, you know? And, you know, we keep saying like the other side of this is being a kid who grew up and loving movies like The Goonies and loving movies like E.T. and, you know, all that stuff. I just always felt like they're great movies, but it's always in the suburbs. There's no stories that represent me and my friends, you know, right, kids growing up in the inner city and stuff like that. So this was also sort of not just a love letter to New York and to my childhood, but love letter to sort of all the inner city kids saying, hey, here's a story for all you guys, you know, because we never get represented in movies and in comic books and stuff like that, except Spider-Man. That's why I loved Spider-Man as a kid, because I always felt like, oh, yeah, Spider-Man lives in my neighborhood, you know.
Now, how has the story evolved since its initial kind of, this is a bedtime story where we're creating. Is it more now that it's kind of an official story, so to speak, you know, going to see print? Is it just that it's a little more structured, or is there another way that it's evolved?
Yeah. I think you just hit on it. I think it's become more structured. I think that the rules had to become clearer. I think that, you know, sort of all the bells and whistles that go with storytelling as you sort of move into a new medium, you know, it just evolves more. You know, we always had some ideas and, you know, some fun stuff and little one-offs and stuff like that, mm-hmm. You know, like what if this happened and then what would they do? And, you know, and all those things. But I think this became more, you know, we had to think more of it in a bigger picture. Aiden?
Yeah, no, definitely adding on to that. I mean, when my dad's saying we had to make some rules clear, it's not like Harry Potter. They can't, you just can't take a wand and say die. They had to create their sort of own language for it. And we had to create our own language for this. Mythology. Yeah. And so, when we were talking about the rules about monsters, and how some people can see the monster, some people can't. I mean, we were creating our own wizard language, our own mythology for this.
Yeah, and Aiden, you've really been a lot more involved in creating the story than anything previous, because you have helped your dad out before. I think I read an interview your dad gave where he talked about you co-creating a character for Suicide Squad and for Teen Titans. But this has been like creating this from the ground up in a much kind of different process. What have you found as a first-time comic scribe here? What have you found most surprising or most challenging about this process?
Really, definitely, you really want to grasp the audience. And so I think me and my dad have gone through so many different ideas that we're like, yeah, but what's something that will bring the audience back and back and back for more and more and more? So I definitely think it was finding the right idea and definitely like the writing. I mean, yes, it's good to have an idea, but then when you put it in speaking form, it's definitely, you know, it's a lot more hard, you know, because like what says what to lead to that. And yeah, that's definitely connecting the dots.
Connecting the dots and the execution of it, you know, which was something new for him that he had to learn.
Yeah, I think every storyteller worries about that, about scripting and dialogue, and certainly, and your dad can attest to this, Aiden, that that challenge of making sure you're keeping your audience enthralled and keep them coming back, that's something that every writer worries about like every time that I don't think that ever goes away, especially now because there's so many great stories out there in so many different media. I feel like the marketplace is more crowded than ever. And so it's always that challenge to hook them and keep them coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, again, sort of growing up and even seeing all the TV shows at work. I mean, that's really great about TV shows. Like I always joke, like, you know, the commercial break is actually the best thing ever because it leaves you the cliffhanger, the good old cliffhanger, yeah. You know, how you get them to come back after, you know, after we sell them some beer, you know? And so I just think it works really well in comics too. So I think it's a great training ground to see that stuff and how you make stories sort of, you know, again, keep bringing them back.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And so I got the chance to check out the first issue already, and I loved it from the pacing to the color work that sets a tone. And I love the main character, Nick, where he's kind of narrating and guiding us through this world. And what I really loved and the way I found myself relating to Nick is Nick finds out he's part of this bigger world, right? And he's got this legacy that he didn't know anything about. And I can remember as a kid having my imagination run wild and wishing that someday I would find out I was the member of a secret team or had some, you know, superpowers. And I think that's very relatable to want to feel that sense of belonging. So is that really an idea that you want to explore, like that we can all feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves?
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I think that twofold to that, we all dream that there's more to our lives than what we think there is. But then what we're going to do, and you're going to see this as the book moves on, is we're going to really ground that. You think you want that, so you get it. And then when you get it, remember, he's a 14-year-old kid.
Yep.
You know, and he's going to turn around and like, wait, fight monsters like and get killed. Yeah, I'm okay. Thank you. You know, like, I want to go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I plan on growing old. You know, it's like, the truth is we're not all ready to pick up the mantle and go fight crime or go fight the monster. So I think what we do is we sort of turn that whole idea on its ear a little bit, which is, yeah, I dreamt of this, but now that I'm here, I'm not really sure I'm ready for the show.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, right? You might get it.
Yeah, exactly.
What are some of the ideas, other ideas that you two are hoping to explore in the book? Any themes of, it seems maybe family a little bit, family relationships?
Yeah. I definitely think we want to grasp, brother and sister love. Mia and Nick, definitely, I think you'll come to find that, they miss loving each other. I mean, what happened to Nick's mother that you'll later find out definitely, struck, a very damaging lightning bolt into their love. And I think
in their relationship, they were very close and then they lost their mom and it sort of put them not closer together, but actually pushed them apart. And by the way, Aiden, speak a little bit to your own life and how you relate to this, because you have a sister who's about to what?
Go to college, and then it breaks my heart because she's my biggest advocate in this life. So I definitely think me and my dad both are writing some of our sister loves. Obviously, he has a sister, so doing the same thing.
That's great. It definitely came across in the first issue, and you know, your dad will attest to this. The first thing you do when you start out as a writer, write what you know, because that's the truest story you can tell, right? Write what you know. So,
well, that, and then the other thing, speaking about what we know, is Aiden, do you want to speak a little bit to sort of what you and Nick share in common?
Well, obviously our main character, Nick Motley, has dyslexia, and I have dyslexia as well. And so I think, me and my dad really want to dive into dyslexia and how, some people consider dyslexia a curse, but actually it's a superpower. And that, like, just like in Percy Jackson, he sees, the words, like he takes Greek words and he makes it, he sees it in English. We're going to do that in our own way with dyslexia. So he sees words and letters backwards. And instead of it saying maybe Roosevelt Street, maybe it says Gremlin Street. And we're definitely going to dive into all that dyslexia world and how you can use it in good terms. Because, I mean, and think outside the box, really. I mean, my dad always tells me I'm in good hands. You know, you got yourself Steven Spielberg, Albert Einstein, and yeah, Steve Jobs.
All dyslexic. They did okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that because, and you can probably speak to this too, Adam, because we're kind of the same age, man. When we were kids, you heard that, and it really was kind of a curse. You were just like, oh, that poor kid. And I love the idea, and it's become more accepted now that it's just a challenge. It's just a different way to see the world, and it doesn't mean that somebody who's you know, afflicted with it is any less or any, you know, any less intelligent or any less of a person. So I personally like the fact that it's kind of more accepted now, and it's maybe better understood.
Mm. And what a great time to have it, because Aiden will be the first to tell you, I mean, technology, you know, is very helpful for people with dyslexia, and, you know, he can use so many things right now, drag and dictate and other, you know, sort of stuff that, you know, helps him really sort of operate and again, sort of really without missing a beat, you know. And it's interesting, there's 400 types of different kinds of dyslexia. So, you know, everybody comes from it from a different place and has different things. And, you know, for Aiden, you know, we would always say it's like he could build this house in Legos with no directions, you know. Yeah. But he was having a hard time learning to read. And, but then you learn tricks, and, you know, he now knows all the tricks. So he reads at grade level and likes to read a lot now. And definitely comic books help with all that stuff too, because the visual and the pictures and being a visual learner, you know, definitely helps. So, yeah, we just want to sort of, you never saw a lead character who's dyslexic. So that was part of the fun of it. Like, let's turn around and have this lead character who's dyslexic sort of lead us through the story and show you that, you know, he has this superpower and that he thinks out of the box and that's going to help him and the Lollipop Kids solve what they're going through.
That's awesome, because it's always great. It's just another way to represent, right? I mean, think of how many kids out there are probably like Aiden who love comics and might struggle, you know, reading because they have dyslexia, and here's a book they can pick up and they get to see themselves in the story. They get to have that touch point. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And that's one of the things we're trying to focus on, is that a kid like me who has dyslexia and who may have trouble reading and may not always get the concept after reading it, pick this up and be like, oh, that kid is fighting monsters and he's just like me. And I just definitely think that's like the childhood dream.
Yeah, that's awesome. Speaking of visuals, why don't you talk a little bit about how you brought your artist Diego Yapur on board? His art, it blew me away from the first page. It was so good.
Yeah, Diego's amazing. Diego is, you know, he came to us through Mike Martson, Aftershock, and we could not have found a better artist. I mean, we've just been blown away. Aiden, you said it best. He has such a unique style.
Yeah, I mean, when they first showed us his art and just the idea of a cover, I was blown away. I mean, this guy, I definitely think, I always say this, I mean, I've played the Arkham games and I've read comics, and I always love that they add Easter eggs to these things. So, you know, we wrote him an email and he put in these Easter eggs, and I just thought it was amazing. I mean, the background, the city, it's just so beautiful, the color. And I'm like, we got to get this guy. And we did. And I'm so grateful.
I think it really stands out. His stuff really pops. I think when people see it, they're going to really be taken by it. There's almost like a reality to it. You know, there's this surrealness to it, but it feels like, you know, it really feels like it's happening.
Yeah. I got about halfway through, and the art was just so good and so consistent all the way through. I stopped and I was like, how is this guy not already a superstar? I mean, he's really going to go places. I can't imagine him not. If he wants to, I think the sky's the limit. What's the collaboration been like so far between the three of you? A little bit of a different dynamic working with writer, artist, and then having your son as co-writer, Adam?
Yeah, you know, Aiden and I did all our work beforehand, so we kind of figured everything out and knew what we were doing, and we were so, you know, ready sort of before the artist even came in. I think we had the first three books written, so it was really just a matter of finding someone that we could work with. And then Diego, you know, he doesn't speak English, it's not his first language, so there's definitely been like some emails back and forth and us sort of talking things out and sort of like having to explain certain things to him. So, but man, again, the guy's so talented. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And what is it specifically about his style that you, like latched onto that you thought would be so perfect for the story? Is it the detail, kind of his artistic pacing, his line work, all of the above?
Well, I think it's a little bit of all of the above, but more importantly, like, you know, I thought it was really important to have somebody who sort of also understood the thing about New York and what makes this story, I also think, so original is that, you know, New York is the great melting pot, right? I mean, you hear it a million times, but you walk down the street and you see it, you know, and Diego obviously being Spanish and coming from South America and being able to really capture, as you'll see as the book goes on too, you know, like one of the things we just talked about is real, real, real girls looking like real girls, you know, and not superhero girls and, and guys, you know, and not everybody being perfect and, you know, and it's sort of feeling like a real sort of New York, sort of not only story, but visual sort of feel and look, you know, and a lot of that stuff's written in there, the graffiti and the chain link fences and, you know, any place I could turn around and sort of, you know, put it in there. But then, you know, he'd write it and deliver it and sort of knows it. So I just feel like he's adding such another layer to this story through his art. And I so appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, being that you're a New Yorker, you know, you're the best judge of it. And honestly, you're trying to capture that feel. You know, you talked about it earlier, capturing a feel. So many of these stories, you know, Goonies, whatever, out in the suburbs, you're trying to capture that feel, but in an urban setting. If it doesn't come across as authentic in the art, you're going to get called out on it.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And by the way, there's different styles that can sort of capture that, but I feel like his style is sort of feels like really, you know, fresh and right now. I did a book and it was a great book, and I'm not taking anything away from it, but I did a book called Brick, you know, it took place in Yonkers, you know, but it was different style, and it wasn't that it didn't fit, didn't work, but it was, I think this style captures more of that sort of inner city, you know, sort of feel and the shades and the colors and the, and sort of the, like you said, all the little details, the graffiti and the rats running on the subway and sort of like, you know, the people that you walk by, like he'll just have a shot of like some beautiful person, you know, walking by that's just totally New York listening to their headset, you know, as our lead character walks by them. So he's really capturing all the little details of it, you know.
Now, let me ask you, Aiden, what's the experience been like? Because your dad's experienced this before, right? Like you write a story, you send the script out, and then the pages start coming in from the artist. But this is the first time where it's been your chance to experience that with the story that you've come up with. So is it just like Christmas every time pages come in? Like, what's that experience been like for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, every time they send in art and stuff like that, it just gets me even more hyped to show the world what we're going to broadcast to you and how we are doing it. And it's just such a unique thing. I mean, me and my dad and Diego, we really care about this book and we're really trying to like make it so perfect what we want. And Diego's just doing an outstanding job to, make us, get right there, right on the dot. And, it's like you said, like Christmas every time I get a art in and I'll be sitting in class and once my dad sent me something and I flipped out in class. But yeah, it's just amazing.
I love that it's Christmas every time you get art. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, I really want to thank you two for joining me, taking the time. I'm really excited about the book. Remember, listeners, it comes out October 3rd, so it's not too early to get out there and let your retailer know that you want a copy. And I'll be talking about it more in detail after the first issue drops because I don't want to spoil anything, but it's definitely worth your time. And I think I don't want to say it's a book for like young readers. I think it's really all ages because there's so much in Nick, his relationship with his sister and with his family that you can relate. A love of New York, I think we can all relate to that. So it's really a book that kind of transcends age, and I think it's definitely worth your time. So again, thank you two for joining me. Is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners, other projects or upcoming work that we should be on the lookout for?
I personally just want to say thank you to Aftershock for giving me this opportunity. I mean, it's so unique to see a 14-year-old boy write a comic book with his dad.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I agree, man. I think Aftershock, too. You know, I'm writing Teen Titans for DC Comics. I created this character, Crush, that everyone seems to be liking, Lobo's daughter. So I hope people just keep checking that out, too. Obviously, if you like Teen Titans, you like what I'm doing there, come check out Lollipop Kids. Actually, just come check out Aftershock, period, man. They are just a great company, and they got so much good stuff going. We're big fans. Sorry, my third book with them. I also did The Normals and Rough Riders with them, so totally appreciate them. And looking forward to doing more stuff. So thank you, and thanks to you, podcast. You know, you guys going out there and and getting people listening and finding out about us. You know, you're part of our community, and I can't say how much we appreciate it.
Ah, thanks. Thanks, Adam. It's always great to hear that. And it's always great to have you on the show and run into at random cons. Any chance you're going to be at a New York Comic Con coming up soon?
Yeah, we're going to be there. Aiden and I are doing a signing on Saturday at 2 o'clock.
Oh, cool. So. I'll definitely swing by and say hi. So, and everybody, I'll put a link to, Adam's, Twitter account. That's probably the best place to follow you to find out when, you have new projects and stuff coming out. Is that right?
Absolutely. 100%.
All right. So that'll be in the show notes. So once again, I want to thank everybody for listening as always. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes as well as follow all our convention coverage. And as you heard me just mention, next show I'll be at is New York Comic Con, first weekend in October. So hope to see you all there. And once again, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.